Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air,
asking the questions you want to know
with sports' biggest and best names. Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer Mark Folliwell.
Rick is, I think, just a great guy at handling these situations. I have all the respect in the world for him as a coach, how to manage the roster and knew what all of his guys were capable of doing and or not doing and put them in a position to succeed.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell.
Elissa Walker Campbell alongside Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. And Rick, here we are at the midpoint of the NBA season. Your record is 21-13. And I just talk about how your team has performed up to this point, you know, having to endure a number of injuries, the shortened season, and how you guys are progressing at this point.
Well, we've done some good things after a lousy start, if we're going to be honest. We've made some strides, and I view it right now that we're in a solid position. I don't think we're in a great position, but I don't think anybody's in a great position in the West except maybe Oklahoma City. You know, they're three games ahead of the number two team. It's very wide open. And so right now we enter a stretch where we're 9 games in 12 days, which is unprecedented for any of us in this franchise. And of course it's due to the nature of this season. And it's interesting. I got a lot of questions about it, and people, you know, worried about, you know, and aren't you worried about this, that, and the other? And to me, this is one of the great ultimate basketball opportunities in coaching, and if you're a player. I mean, for 12 days, you know, it's going to be all playing basketball. There's not going to be any practices. There are going to be a few shoot-arounds, a few film sessions, but this is pure basketball at its purest, and for us, what's going to define how we do during this stretch is how we defend and rebound and how we take care of the ball. Those are going to be the three things. And right now we're third in the league in defense, which is a credit to our guys. And we're generally speaking a low turnover team. But, you know, 2-3 weeks ago we had a couple games where we had 40-some in two games. So we're going to have to avoid those.
The month of March certainly will be very ambitious, as you're talking about 9 games in 12 days. How critical, Rick, is it going to be for your post players to really step up and meet the challenge? Because they really are going to play a very big role in that.
We need everybody. And I think one of the neat things about this team is that, you know, our center position is a big part of who we are. And three guys are playing substantial minutes. I mean, they're playing virtually every game. You know, Haywood, Mahimi, and Wright, and all of them are contributing, you know, sort of what they bring to the game. You know, Haywood brings us the physical presence. You know, Mahimi's a bigger guy, but he's got some quickness. And then Wright is, you know, plays above the rim and has done some great things and has a real knack when he gets in there with the right guys. So those guys are key. We're going to be seeing a lot of good big men. And, you know, I can't overstate enough the importance of rebounding the ball. You know, the shot goes up. And, you know, like, for instance, we play New Jersey tomorrow night. They're one of the high-frequency three-point attempt teams. And when those miss, they come out long. And so we got to have 5 guys pursuing those. And one of the ways you get high-percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out, and guys are going to step into them, and they're going to make. So, you know, rebounding is a massively important stat.
And that certainly is going to be at the forefront of your mind. We saw that against the Lakers. You guys did a good job in the first half rebounding, but it was in the second half where they came up with some of those opportunities and they were able to get those putbacks. You guys can't have soft blockouts.
Absolutely. And look, and some of the rebounds we're talking about that go out, you know, they don't just go to the dotted line. These balls bounce 16, 17 feet sometimes. And so our perimeter players, even after they contest a shot, are going to have to be disciplined to not release and take off down the court, but stay in there and rebound those areas around the free throw line. And, you know, when you don't do that, it comes back to bite you.
Let's zero in and talk a little bit about Brandon Wright. You were just highlighting him, and he certainly has been a wonderful addition and a surprise. And he had high praise for you. He talked about the confidence that you continue to instill in him, the trust. And because of that, he can step out onto the floor and play the five position. His natural position is the four, but he can be bold and make those spectacular plays.
Well, you know, what he's proven is that he's a very capable player. He's a knowledgeable player. you know, he went through some tough things his first 3 or 4 years with injuries. He was never able to really get much traction with his career to this point. And, you know, five is a better position for him than four in a lot of ways. He's going to have a quickness advantage, and yet he's still going to be able to play, you know, as high above the rim as most of the five men. And he has a way of knifing in there and making plays and getting his hands on balls. And he's a great runner and a great finisher. And when our guys throw it up there, I mean, he goes up and gets it. So, you know, he's been a real positive, and it's helped alleviate the loss of Chandler, you know, because he kind of brings some of Tyson's physical qualities to our game.
How satisfying is it for you as a coach? You see a younger player, you know, Brandon Wright in his third year, but then a player like a Vince Carter, who has been in the league for several years, to quickly step into your system and to acclimate and be able to go out there and execute. I mean, that's got to make you feel good as a coach and what you guys are doing as a staff.
Well, Vince is a pro, and, you know, there are some guys in this league, and, you know, there's a handful of them that you could take out of one system in a trade or something else, and within a week they'd know everything. And Vince is just one of those smart guys. And it's interesting. He's played with four teams in less than 2 years. You know, so he'd been through this drill before. And the thing that I've loved about him from day one is that completely professional approach. You know, a guy that's asking questions, that's accountable, is saying, hey, it was my fault, you know, and asking the right questions during games and encouraging his teammates. And at this point in his career, you know, he's been an 8-time All-Star. I mean, if you're an 8-time All-Star in this league, you're a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't think that that's in question. And so to kind of come into our situation and take on the role that he's taken on and be willing to play, you know, in the mid-20s minutes-wise, encourage our younger guys and try to help us win is a big bonus.
And as a former guard yourself, you got to appreciate this low block game that he's got and that he's able to, you know, I mean, you guys can isolate him and he can play with his back to the basket and score.
Well, it gives us a dimension we haven't had here at the two. And, you know, I wasn't sure how this was all going to shake out with our starting lineup. And the way it's kind of gone is that, you know, he started at two when J. Kidd went out a few weeks ago. Kid came back. West had talked to me about wanting to play off the bench with Terry, and, you know, how many guys come to you and they want to talk to you about coming off the bench? I mean, he felt that Kid and Vince, because they'd been together, would be good. And then the other part of this that's made this work for us to this point, and that's not to say it couldn't change, is that, you know, Marion is now guarding the best guard to start games. He's guarding point guards. He's guarding Lawson. He's guarding Chris Paul. He's guarding, you know, he's going to probably guard Deron Williams tomorrow night. And that allows our matchups to be manageable for the first 6-7 minutes of the game. So a lot of things got to fall into place for it to work with a certain kind of mixture of guys. And to this point, you know, we've been able to make it work, but we're a long way from being there. You know, our expectations are still extremely high, and we feel like the West is wide open.
Okay, and obviously one of the biggest storylines that everybody wants to know about is how will Lamar Odom fit in the second half of the season? And I actually had an opportunity to kind of step back and look at his body of work through the first 15 games and then the second half of 15 games. And you could see how, as you had said, Rick, that he is functioning within the system. What are you going to challenge him with in this second portion? Is it going to be defense or to be more assertive on the offensive side?
You know, he's just got to continue to trend in a positive way. And I believe he'll do that because that's been the pattern of his career. He's been a guy that starts off the season and gets better as each year has gone on. So, you know, it's become a polarizing topic at times. But again, one of the things about being in my position, you've got to see things as they are, not worse than they are, and you got to try to constantly make things better He's working at it, and I think he'll get there, and I think the second half of the year is going to be positive.
My final question for you is, let's reflect a little bit on your illustrious career. You know, we think of you at the University of Virginia.
Illustrious career, wow.
Absolutely. At Virginia, you took your team to the Final Four. And, of course, you know, with Boston in 86, you know, being a teammate and winning a world championship, and then, of course, your leadership and your savvy and leading the Dallas Mavericks to their first ever world championship. What is Rick I mean, you're a story of inspiration. Really, what is your formula to success? Because it is a choice. It's not by accident. What's kind of the common denominator that you can share with many of us?
I don't know. I don't view it quite the way you do. I feel like I'm in this to serve the players and my owner and the people I work with. The thing that I think has been a constant, I have great love and respect for the game. And so, I love being around it. I consider myself a teacher, so I love helping players get better and working with a group and trying to help a group of guys, obtain a goal. And that was what was so great about last year. And really, we haven't changed our thinking at all this year. We're not looking to take a back seat to anybody or give in and say, hey, we don't have enough or any of that kind of stuff. We really feel good about the group that we have. We feel that we're a dangerous team that can get more dangerous. We're going to keep plugging. But this has been an enjoyable year, even though there's been a lot of games packed into a short period of time. It's basketball in its purest form because it's mostly playing basketball. And the players got to love it, and I have loved it, and I'm going to continue to approach it that way.
And, of course, you love to embrace pressure, too. You like those pressure situations, don't you?
I do. Hey, the one thing about pressure, it's going to make you better if you embrace those opportunities. And what's the old saying? It makes diamonds and bursts pipes. Well, we're into making diamonds around here. That's what we're about. And and this is something we talked very honestly about last year during the playoffs, is that, hey, we all feel that this sort of neurological change that happens when you get into these situations, this is good because it helps the human spirit function at a higher level, and let's roll with it. And our guys did, and we're trying to do the same thing this year.
Rick, we wish you continued success, and hopefully the next time we talk, we'll be talking about another world championship, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
Be sure and join us online at eradiosports.com for more exclusive interviews.